Good job. Thank you. Good evening. Today is March 18th, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is the Appendix 2, The Spiritual Experience. And our speaker tonight is Carla. Thanks, Carla.
Thank you so much, Sally, Lacey, everyone giving service, and everyone that's here. Welcome home, everybody. I'm just so excited to speak tonight about the spiritual experience, but I'm so excited to be here with y'all tonight. I love this meeting. I was invited to speak here in 2022, and I've never quit coming. I fell in love with this meeting and with y'all. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm Carla. I'm from the Bay Area of California, originally from Amarillo, Texas. So if you think she doesn't sound like she's from California, that's my pet name for paradise where I live now. But so spiritual experience. I'm going to weave my story in with in with what we're going to read and talk about in spiritual experience. It starts out saying the terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. I love that it says personality change because that is exactly what's happened to me. So just right there, I want to share a couple of places. Now, actually, as I looked up the word spiritual, there's 124 times it's used in the Big Book and 62 in the 12 and 12. So I am not going to do a word study with y'all, I promise. But in on page 25, and there is a solution, it says, the great fact is just this and nothing less. That we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. And then in the 12 and 12, AA 12 and 12, step 12 on page 106, it says, when a man or a woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he has or she has now become able to do, feel and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. And I love the fact that this starts out just to tell us that this is manifested, it manifests itself in many different ways, which gives me permission to look at what works for me. What is happening to me? And I really want to share this from the perspective of this psychic change that I've gone through, the psychic change that we're promised, a change in the way I think, in the way I feel, and the way I behave. It was done to me, not by me, but not without me. And so I really would like to share for a minute from the 12 and 12 also. On step 12, because it talks about this very thing. It says that we have been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. So, and I'm going to use I because I don't want to keep saying he and she. So I'm just going to say, I have been set on a path which tells me that I really am going somewhere, that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured. Or mastered, very important for me. In a very real sense, I have been transformed because I have laid hold of a source of strength, which in one way or another I had hitherto denied myself. I find myself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love, of which I had thought myself quite incapable. What I have received is a free gift, and yet, usually, and for me, in some small part, I made myself ready to receive it. And the AA's manner of making ready to receive this gift lies in the practice of the 12 steps in this program. And I love so many words in there. And I'm going to talk about one of them. I'll go ahead and talk about it now since I just read it, about practicing the 12 steps. You know, when I got here, I had so many attitudes, beliefs, and opinions. I had no idea that those very attitudes, beliefs, and opinions had built a prison I lived in. I didn't know I was in prison. I was eating every few minutes. I could not quit. I had been doing it for 9 years. And the reason I know exactly how long is because 5 years before that, I had eaten on a food plan from a doctor and just adhered to it. It was just a way of living. It was a way of life, and I didn't even think about it until one day. I saw some items I hadn't eaten for 5 years and thought, I know how to eat now. I can have one. I know portion control. I can do this. So I ate one, and a few minutes later, I ate another one. And a few minutes later, I ate another one. And that began this journey of 9 years before I crawled into my first meeting. And when I crawled into that first meeting, I looked at two ladies at a table and I said, can y'all please help me? I can't quit eating. And they handed me the Overeaters Anonymous 12 steps and 12 traditions and said, we're going to read step one. And reading step one changed my life forever because I found out I was a compulsive overeater. I know, sounds crazy. If you're eating every few minutes, that means you're a compulsive overeater. I couldn't have used those words. I did not have that awareness at all. I just thought I had a food problem. One of many things, those attitudes, beliefs, and opinions that I got here with. And with those, today I was just thinking, and I jotted down these beliefs that I have had a spiritual awakening about. One was that food was my problem. One was I had a relationship with God that did not need to change. One was I got all the OA literature and I'm a great student, so I just need to complete these assignments and then I'm going to go on with my life. I never intended to have an open mind. Now, you know, we look at, and I'm going to read here in a minute about open-mindedness. I never intended to have an open mind. I already knew everything and nobody needed to tell me anything. Yet that got me to 285 pounds and eating every few minutes. Another one is that I had no idea what honesty looked like. I had a death grip on the masks that I wore and the personas I presented, and no one was going to get to see behind the curtain. I absolutely never knew what honesty actually was because I never stopped long enough to think about what I was doing. That was one of the main things that practicing the 12 steps did for me immediately. All of a sudden, for the first time, for one is for the first time, I began to consider what my life had been like. I was asked to go through my life in 10-year increments and think about what was going on. I didn't hear the part about food. So I went through my life in 10-year increments looking at what was I doing in these years and what was I doing in these years. And I saw profound things that happened to me in my life that built these beliefs that were keeping me disturbed. And one of them was that I was absolutely adored as a child. My parents both adored me. You can't tell it now, but I did have black hair. And my mother always wanted a little black-headed daughter, and I was that daughter. And she reminded me of that continually. And then I was daddy's girl, and he absolutely adored me. So did my older sister. So did my extended family. I call myself proclaimed the fave. That's the way I grew up. Well, when my parents passed, my father passed in 78. My life ended as I knew it. I didn't know what to do without that. As I look back at, and that also was the time that I started eating. Before that, I was raised in a home where we had very much portion control. You got your portion every day, and that's what you got to eat. We didn't have junk food. You didn't have extra helpings. And I was just raised that way. But then when I got out on my own, and at my father's passing, I was 6 months pregnant. And I couldn't face life for me, but I couldn't end my life because of a child. God knew exactly when he would take my daddy and what would happen to me at that time. That's a story for another day. So I want to get back to page 184 says, we find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable, which means they are absolutely necessary. Oh my goodness. It's so interesting that willingness, it's what I perceive when I say these words. And I wanted to say in the beginning, when we talk about spiritual experience, that all of us have a meaning of what that means to us. We all come from what I think when you say spiritual awakening, when you say spiritual experience. And for me, coming into Overeaters Anonymous, I had a very strong relationship with God. Power greater than me. I had very strong religious practices. And so when I got here and I heard God, I thought, well, I already got that covered. And when my sponsor said, whatever your relationship is with God, it's going to change. And I scoffed at that. Like I said, I didn't need my relationship with God to change. I want y'all to know today, everything about the relationship I had with God when I got here has changed. It has grown. I have understood that. In my religious pride, I was a good director of God. I thought I knew God's will, not only for me, but the whole world. And I continually directed everyone, and they never followed it. And I never quit trying. So then there is this, I love this very last paragraph in this part of the Big Book because it says, there is a principle which is a bar against all information. Which is proof against all arguments and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Y'all, you could have put my name in front of that. Carla has contempt prior to investigation because I already knew everything. And if it was a new thing that you were talking about that I'd never heard of, instantly I knew. I had, it's the way my brain works. I had to have not only one spiritual awakening, I had to have continual and have still have to have continual spiritual awakenings because this program of practicing these steps, my sponsor said to me one day, while you're practicing the steps, and I specifically use that word instead of working, because here's what my brain thinks when I say I work the steps, that means I'm going to arrive at something. That by the time I get to step 12, I'm going to have arrived somewhere and then I'm going to be done. It's going to be a one and done, and then I'm going back to my life. When I began to understand, one of the many spiritual awakenings I've had is about the fact that recovery is a practice. And that the journey is the destination, and I'm never going to arrive at anything. Today, I'm no closer to perfection than I was the day I got here. But I tell you one thing, my recovery has progressed for 4 years and 10 months to a place that today I can tell you I live in a freedom that I never imagined. I'd never seen anybody free. I had never known anybody that was free. So I wasn't looking for freedom. I wasn't looking for spiritual awakenings. Here's what I was looking for. I need to quit eating every few minutes. And the rest of my life is good to go. And when I read the first step, I really struggled with that because it says my life's unmanageable. I thought, my life's poor, y'all. My life's not unmanageable. I'm good to go. I just can't quit eating. I had no idea that I didn't know what I didn't know, and I still don't. There are so many things about this spiritual practice, and it's just a practice, and it's just for today. I work with a lot of newcomers. That's my absolute passion, is helping people get started. Because when I got here, I had no understanding about what people were talking about. What is abstinent? What is a sponsor? When I was told I needed a sponsor, I got one, not even knowing what a sponsor was. But I had to have one because I had to practice the steps. And at that point, it was work the steps, get to work, get finished with the work. It's an academic exercise, and then go on. And I had no idea that I was coming to a way of living, a way of life, and a daily practice. And because of that, practice makes progress. When I think so much, and as I work with newcomers, and I talk to them about the morning practice of turning to a power greater than you. For a lot of people, that's uncomfortable. They're going out of. I said, you know what? I was so uncomfortable the first time I rode a bike. I fell over and skinned my knee. The second time I rode a bike, I fell over and skinned my knee. But one day I could ride all the way up and down the street. And now I have ridden a lot. The more I practice, the more comfortable I get with it. Doesn't mean that I'm the best bicycle rider, I guarantee you. I still have bicycle wrecks, so I don't get on them as much anymore at 70 as I did at one point. I won't be the one helping my granddaughter learn to ride a bike. Let me put it that way. So as I'm going through these spiritual experiences, one of my most recent spiritual awakenings I had this last time through the steps. So I step guide people through a year-long workshop normally. And this very last time, as I was going through the steps in that workshop, I saw the sentence, we had to quit playing God. And I had always scoffed at that. And I'd always said, I would never do that. So I wouldn't even consider it. And what I found out this time through the steps is that I play God all the time. I was always playing God because guess what? I thought I knew God's will. And so I'll give you a perfect example. A few months ago, I decided I would work part-time. I'm retired. My granddaughter was born a year and 20 months ago, and I retired then. She's the delight of my life. So I decided I would go back to work part-time, and I'd work 3 days a week. Well, I can tell y'all, I'm not working 3 days a week. And just today, some jobs I thought I had, I found out I don't have. And so I began to consider, what is it that I thought this was? And what another awakening I realize even today is that I still make decisions determining what the result's going to be. And when the result is not what I thought it was going to be, what happens? I get disturbed. Why? Because I have a belief something should be different than it is. And so the bedrock of my recovery, and I know I'm winding down here, the bedrock of my recovery is the set aside intention. It is a prayer, but it's the intention that I turn to a power greater than me, asking that what I think I know be set aside. That intention, that prayer, when I learned that, it changed everything about my recovery. It changed everything about my life because what I understood that day is that I have to be put in a position that my mind can be opened. I can't do it on my own. I can't change the way I think. I can't change the way I feel or what I believe. But there is a power that once I make that choice, then the fruition of that is done to me, that my mind can be opened. I do a lot of 1 minute timers where I set a 1 minute timer and for 1 minute I breathe. I breathe in and out with my eyes shut. The shutting my eyes was a game changer. So as I do this for 1 minute and I silently talk myself through it, the air is coming in my nose, down my throat, so that my mind can be focused on it. After that minute, when that minute timer goes off, I write down the first thing that comes to my mind. And it's very most often some action that I need to take. And what that minute does is it levels me up enough emotionally that I can hear. Because I don't know about y'all, but for me, when I'm disturbed, I can't hear. And when I get angry, normally my disturbance is anger. That's my go-to. And when I'm angry, I can't think straight. But when I can pause, when I can breathe for a minute and allow a different thought to come in, then I can take a different action. I'm so grateful that we have in the back of the big book this spiritual experience because getting here as a religious practicing person, I had a lot of religious pride. And I was very confused when I got here. How on earth? Okay, we're talking about God being a solution through a practice, and I already have a practice, and I'm good to go here.
Two
Here's what I
minutes.
didn't understand. Thank you. Here's what I did not understand, what a spiritual experience was. And that is a change in the way I think, in the way I feel, in the way I behave. And it's done to me. And today, the way my initial reaction to things is different. I have awarenesses about things in my life that I never had awareness about. I had no idea that I played God. I played God all the time. You can ask my children. I have three children, and they know what their mother has done their entire lives. Y'all, I was 65 when I crawled in here. I already had grown children and grandchildren. And those children had a mother who was an absolute director, and yet so full of love. So I have great relationships with my children, and that absolutely is divine intervention. And I am so fortunate that in 4 years and 10 months that I have come to a way of living that today I can turn to a power greater than me. My mind can be directed, and then I can be empowered to walk out today what I'm guided to do. Thank y'all so much for letting me be here today. And thank y'all for being here. I can't wait to hear from all of you. Welcome home, everybody.
Oh, Miss Carla, thank you. Wow, very, very humbling talk. Thank you so much for walking this path and showing us all what it's like and what's available to us. Well, they're lining up already, so I'm going to be quiet and call on Miss Mayor. Oh, wait, I have to read something. Sorry. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and the step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would our timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up? The speakers asked a question. Please allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, Meredith.
Hey, everybody. Meredith B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Nashville, Tennessee. Carla, you just make me smile. I always feel so like joy just bubbles up and oozes out of you. And it's just always so wonderful to hear you speak. I'm glad you talked about that 1 minute breathing. I might even have heard you say that before, but I forgot and I needed to hear it again. I've been thinking a lot lately about listening to God and how can I listen to him if, well, I heard another person today say, we're so concerned with filling up all the space, filling up all the spaces. And I need to create space so that God can get in there and I can hear him. And it is a mystery too. I love that you said you had to be put in a position where your mind could be changed. And that can be so painful too. but it's all good. I had another thought. I'm not going to be able to grab it. So I will. Bummer. I'll call you later. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Meredith. Mia.
Hey, hi, family. Can I be heard? Okay, awesome. Hi, I'm Mia JT from Massachusetts. And Carla, what a delight. I was so delighted when I saw you were on the call and that you were going to share about the spiritual experience. So thank you. Thank you. I always get so much out of listening to you and seeing you. I feel like when I'm in a Zoom room with you, it's like a big warm hug, right? It feels really amazing. So thank you for that. I took a lot of notes because I was talking to somebody earlier today who doesn't take notes at meetings. And I'm like, wow, I don't know. My 66-year-old brain doesn't remember anything if I don't write it down, you know? So it's just like, I don't know. But I really got a lot out of what you said about the fact that it's a spiritual practice, right? This is a journey, and, you know, and it's like when you're learning to ride a bike or when, you know, toddlers are learning how to walk, you know, it's that old idea of, you know, if your kid stands up and then they fall down, you know, you're not going to say, oh, well, you didn't learn how to walk, you're done. You know, they just keep doing it. They keep getting up and falling down, getting up and falling down until they're done. And so that it's a practice, and it evolves. And my relationship with my higher power is different than it was a year ago, and it probably will be different a year from now. And that's okay. That's life, right? That's doing the thing. And you know, I thought it was also really cool what you said about the intention, turning aside what I think I know, you know, the set aside prayer, you know, turning it aside. And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. 2 weeks ago tonight, I lost my mom. She passed away. And this is where it's still really fresh, you know, and I've been able to, with God's help, to, you know, maintain my abstinence and my recovery, which was not the case when my dad died, you know. And now that they're both gone, I've been realizing that there's a whole layer of linkage that is now gone, you know, and it's that losing one, you still have the other, and still there's still linkage to that relationship with my parents. And now they're both gone. And it's just been really, really interesting. So I've just been talking to God about it a lot. Like, you know, we had to do a lot of driving due to spring break, and it was right after my mother's funeral. And, you know, it just, you know, so like every opportunity, there was just like, okay, God, I'm feeling really resentful right now, because like Carla, you said, you know, anger is your thing. Resentment is my thing. I get resentful about everything. You know, if you look at me wrong, if you don't drive the way I think you should, if you don't order food the way I think you should, if you're eating too much, you know, whatever, you know, because and with that, I'll pass. And I'm really grateful to be here. And thank you, everybody, for your service.
I think I'm next, but I'm not hearing anything. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Penny.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Hi, I'm Penny, a compulsive overeater, and I have to move my screen so I can see Carla's cute face. Oh, Carla, thank you so much. Big, big hug. And I, you know, as we were sitting here and you were talking, I was just feeling so grateful that I got to actually physically meet you at the birthday party. What a joy. I too feel the same way as others have said. You know, when I see that you're in a room, it just warms my heart. You know, just your voice alone is so comforting. And I love when you say, and you've said it so much, done to me, not by me, but not without me. That just, you know, that just always speaks to me when you say that. And, you know, at the end of your talk, you were talking about, you know, your kids and, you know, that they had a mom that was, you know, different than you are today. And, you know, even though I was in these rooms when my kids were growing up, I feel the same way just because of the work that I've done in the last 6 or so years. I know that I'm different than I was. And, you know, what a gift. You know, I can't regret the past, nor is to shut the door on it, right? I mean, things are life is gets lifey. And today I know that I have a way to deal with that. And that is, you know, everything that you said just about the, you know, the powerlessness and that 1 minute exercise. I love that. Love that. I have never heard that. And I am definitely going to try that. That really spoke to me. You know, in the set aside prayer, you know, which just tells me to just get out of my own way. You know, I can get in my own way so easily. And, you know, it takes working this program, you know, really working it. And it is a gift in my life. And I have to remember to do my work every day. And I loved what you said about being a grandma, because I'm going to be a grandma in about 4 months and I can't wait. So we will be talking. So I am I'm grateful to be here and grateful for all of you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny. Ziva, come on in.
Hi, Ziva, compulsive overeater, and I'm so, so glad I found this meeting. Oh my God, I couldn't make it to my daily meeting, and this meeting is a gem. Thank you so much, Carla, for your beautiful share, and thank you every single person that shared. Just what a great meeting. When I look at the spiritual experience, the paragraph that means the most to me, because it describes me, is the quote by Herbert Spencer at the end of the chapter, when it says, There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and we cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. And that principle is contempt prior to investigation. And that's my story. I've been in the program for 40 plus years, and I've been abstinent for 16 and a half. So you can do the math. I mean, I would need a calculator, but for 20 some years, all I expressed was contempt prior to investigation. I love the people I met in program. I enjoyed going to meetings. I enjoyed reading the literature. But when you said the word God, I did this. And all I wanted, I was okay with step one. And I used the program like a cafeteria style. You know, I would do step one and two, skip three, four. Absolutely, self-reflection is good. Character defects, I don't think I have so many. Amends, maybe a few. But only when I became willing to investigate before being resentful and contempt, and be willing and open to be on a spiritual path, only then my recovery started. And I've been abstinent now for 16 and a half years, and I'm in an ongoing journey of discovering my own concept of God, as I think it's the name of the meeting, right? Your own concept? Yes, because it evolved so many ways. And right now, my higher power is called Embracing Mother, which is a mother I never had. And it's the mother I was to my children, and I'm now to all my grandkids, but I didn't have that mother. So this is my higher power. And that voice is the voice that when I wake up and I don't feel like exercising, instead of the voice that I had before recovery that said, you know, you are a piece of, get out of bed. Now it's a voice that says, come, sweetie, let's go to the pool. You know, you'll feel so much better when you get home. And that's the end of my time. I'll be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ziva. We look forward to having you back with us.
I will.
Big old love fest here every week. Yvonne.
Hello, CYOC family. Carla. Oh, my goodness. Huge love. I too will sing your praises. There is just something about you. Just the, like somebody said, the sound of your voice, it fills me with comfort, with positivity, with hope, with joy. And you bring that into every single room, including those in person where I had the privilege to meet you and give you a hug in real life, which was a joy. But you're so many things that you talked about tonight resonated with me. And you said you have to make yourself ready to receive. And that is the work that we have to do, right? We don't do the actual work. We just have to make ourselves ready to be able to receive that. And that open mind, because when I came through the door too, I actually thought that I was quite spiritual and that I had a belief in this God of my understanding. And I came in the door and all these people were, you know, like God, God, God. It's a word you hear a lot in these rooms. And I'm like cringing and ducking and trying not to get hit with this word. And it's like, I was shocked. It's like, what is going on here? And so I had to make myself ready all over again to be able to take a different perspective, because same thing. I thought I knew it all. It didn't matter if I knew nothing about it. I still thought, okay, well, let me hear something for 10 seconds, then I'll know everything about it. It's just such a crazy thing. And honesty, you talked about honesty, same. I thought I was honest as the day was long, all those sayings, right? And then it's like, oh, hang on. Now I'm having to look at the reasons why I do all these things that are so nice, or all of those things that I ask, oh, mercy for me, but, you know, justice for somebody else who does it, right? It's like, holy moly, the Dishonesty, all of a sudden, like when we talk about selfish and self-seeking and dishonest and fearful, dishonesty was, whoa, right at the top of that list for me, which was an absolute eye-opener. I had no idea. You talked about unmanageability and not relating to that. Yeah, same. I had a great job. I was married. We didn't have kids, so I didn't have that going on in my life, but I thought things were going pretty good. But it's exactly like you say, you cannot see what you cannot see until somebody else helps you, takes your hand, opens your eyes, helps you make that step forward into the light and into a connection with a higher power. Because my broken brain, oh man, I couldn't, like this whole 2 years has just been like one mind-blowing revelation after another, right? The beliefs that I had that I'm so sure of, and now I'm not. And so I'm out of time, but I wanted to mention one last thing, and that was the intention. You actually mentioned that to me in an outreach call when I was really struggling, and you said, what is your intention for today? And that allowed me to set my feet back on the path that day in a new way and move forward instead of to keep looking back over my shoulder. Thank you. I love you. And I pass.
Thank you, Yvonne. So we're going to go ahead and stop the recording for unrecorded questions or share.